In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. First, let me give you a compliment. This is really the first parish I've ever been at where people, when you read this gospel, don't just automatically start saying the Our Father along with the gospel reader. It usually happens because, you know, we hear, oh, Our Father. We should all be praying that together. And we should, but not when the gospel is being read. So good job there. Means you're actually paying attention to what is being read rather than just, you know, running cartoons in your head and then, oh, Our Father. Today we celebrate the feast day of two great saints of the church. St. Thomas More, whom many of us know a lot about because of the movie A Man for All Seasons, based upon the play. When we think about the English Reformation, a lot of people think about St. Thomas More. Unfortunately, recently on the cable, there's been a rather slanderous approach to St. Thomas More, a series called Wolf Hall, which is just trash, plain and simple. But we know about St. Thomas More. He was a Chancellor of England. The closest analogy today would be the Prime Minister. And he resigned rather than help Henry VIII in his idea to divorce his wife, because she wouldn't produce him an heir. And Henry knew he was just so wonderful that he had to have an heir, and it was obviously his wife's fault that she only gave him a girl, not a boy. And so he tossed her away and got Anne Boleyn, and then he tossed her away and then got someone else. And, you know, remember the six wives of Henry VIII? And he did get an heir, King Edward, but he was sickly, and he died. And then his daughter by Anne Boleyn, Elizabeth I, she didn't produce an heir, so the Tudors died out anyway. And so all of King Henry's scheming and his heresy and his schism was for naught. Because, you know, as man proposes, God disposes. And just think how different the world would be if Henry had accepted God's will and been obedient to the church and a good and loyal Christian. Even when he was quote-unquote Catholic, he had affairs and he had a few children out of wedlock and things like that. Wasn't a great thing. But anyway, St. Thomas More resigned, and because he wouldn't sign on to Henry's proposition that he was the head of the church in England, he was imprisoned, and then eventually he was beheaded in the Tower of London, where his body is buried, for treason. And his head was stuck upon a pike, and his daughter Margaret arranged for the head to be stolen, and it was buried with her in the vault where she and her husband Roper are buried. So we know a lot about Thomas More, but we don't know so much about John Fisher, who was the Bishop of Rochester and who was universally admired as the holiest of all of the English bishops. He was the chaplain to the Queen, Queen Catherine, Henry's first wife. A good and holy man, very much admired. He was also the only bishop in England who didn't go along with Henry VIII. The only one. The only one who had the courage to stand up for the faith and not think about his own life or his power or his prestige. All of the other bishops gave in to Henry. And as a consequence, like St. Thomas More, John Fisher was imprisoned, and the Pope said, I will save his life by appointing him a cardinal. Because Henry will respect that. You know, it kind of reminds you of the parable of the vineyard, where the owner of the vineyard says, they will respect my son, and they killed the son anyway. Well, Henry was furious when John Fisher was appointed a cardinal. He says, well, that red hat will never sit on his head because he won't have a head for it to sit on. And so he too was executed. Now, we think about these wonderful and good and holy martyrs of the English Reformation, or rather the English Rebellion. You know, people like St. Thomas More, people like John Cardinal Fisher, people like the Carthusians of London, who were among the first executed by Henry for not agreeing to his takeover of the church. And then there were plenty of lay people too. But what we should remember is these are a small fraction. Just think about how many of, like, the bishops who went along, and the noblemen who went along, and the priests who went along, and the religious who went along with Henry. And as a consequence, they lost everything. You know, I think if any of them could be shown the state of the church in England today, any of the ones who thought Henry's Reformation was such a great idea, they would go running back to the Pope and kiss his feet because of the absolute chaos and heresy that the Anglican Church is these days. You know, we oftentimes want things to go our way too. And the church teaches something and we go, oh, I don't believe that. Who are they to tell me how to live my life? Who are they to tell my children how they should live their lives? And we rebel, you know, maybe not as Henry does, or Henry did, but we still rebel. Think about how history will remember that rebellion. Do you want to be numbered among people like Henry VIII? Or among people like St. Thomas More and St. John Fisher? In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.